The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Michael Fabiano on board, as always. Fantasy Football Tuesday. You did auto draft. Your team blows. Well, Michael is here to save the day, answer questions around the fantasy football scene after a couple of weeks. Well, Michael Fabiano on board with us today. If you missed Adam Archuleta or John Wilner from yesterday, we'll put them on the back end of the stream as well. But on this Tuesday, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their ongoing support. I think the big story in the Valley, there's always something going on here. And that doesn't mean I'm going to lead with ASU and always something university, but on this Tuesday, I do believe the Sean Aguano story is still, with the Rams coming in later in the week, we'll get to that. But I feel like Sean Aguano, the hire by Arizona State on an interim basis, has caused people to say, what is ASU thinking? The former high school coach? So I want to get into that a little bit here in the opening segment, and a few other things in sports. The Diamondbacks got rolled last night, and James Conner ankle injury concerns me a little bit. If he's okay, you're going to need him. You don't want him nicked up as the season goes along. And then the Monday night games were a couple of fabulous ones. But I want to start with Sean Aguano in the college space with ASU. So this is the best move that ASU could make right now with so many other factors going on. And that was, let's get Herm out of here. Herm needed to go over a year ago. I'm not going to sit here and, beat the horse to death on this thing, but my stance has been very clear that he needed to go. When I was at the kickoff luncheon a couple of weeks back, he sounded like he was begging fans to come out. This had run its course. That Doug Haller had a very good deep dive in The Athletic today about there were some moments where you felt like this was actually going to work out, where the doubters were going to say, they're actually heading in the right direction. But I think those of us that looked at this and took a step back and said, okay, there's some really not smart things at all going on over there, and stuff that you just hear from assistant coaches, former assistant coaches. Doug had a very interesting tidbit in his column this morning that there may have been some people internally at ASU tipping other coaches off about what ASU was doing. That's the worst of the worst of the worst. But this is, this is Michael Crow and Ray Anderson's hire. That was, their hands were all over it. But in Sean Aguano's case, I've known Sean for many, many years. He is first and foremost a family man. And people will say, I'm a family man. Sean's family man. Sean gets out to his kids, very involved in his kids and their activities. Whenever I see him, it's usually, they'll ask me how my son is doing, what's going on with volleyball. He's very involved in the volleyball scene with his kids. And I like that. I think, when Bruce Arians was with the Cardinals and he would talk about how he would fire assistant coaches if they missed things, I feel like that is who Sean Aguano is in a lot of sense. He is somebody that truly does care about the staff. And I think that they are going to be locked in arms. Of course, when you're an interim coach, you're going to have some staff members that are saying, I better update my resume. My agent better be looking around for me. Even in Sean's case, like I felt like Sean last year, if the staff got blown out, I felt like Sean would be approached to go back to the Chandler Unified School District when Perry High School was open, or if Hamilton were to come open, or Basha, or Castile, or not Chandler, because Rick is too entrenched there, Rick Gerritsen, but I felt like that would be one way for him to go. The high school coaches here in the Valley are thrilled that Sean Aguano is the guy. I talked to three assistant coaches on the college level, one head coach in the college level on Sunday when this was going on. I was in the airport in Reno. And they're all so happy for him because they know, good guy, good football mind. And most importantly, okay, he truly is going to recruit Arizona. We're not going to sit here and say, hey, so the defensive tackle over at Chandler that was first offered by U of A and then got offered by everybody else, and ASU saw him twice, like, yeah, I'm really not that interested. And well, now ASU offered him like 13th or 14th. It's way too late. Ship sailed. Maybe it's a quarterback at Chandler High School that's already committed to Ohio State, but he's just a junior. Maybe a change in voice, maybe connecting over at Chandler High. Maybe that works out. So I tended to look at the recruiting side of it. There's a very good story that Claudia Collins put up on the site. She found Jason Mons at Saguaro. She found Rick Gerritsen at Chandler. She found Mike Zdebski over at Hamilton and Jason Jewell at Brophy. And she ended up getting all four of them and their reaction to this hire of Sean Aguano. Sean Aguano is going to go out on Saturday night against Utah. I'll be there. And he may get his head kicked in. He might. Most people think he will. 14th ranked team. But I have a feeling that, you know, the you have to look at it and say, is it going to be a decisive drubbing? Or is it, you know what, they're making some progress here, some strides there. You know, that's where I'm at in the Aguano hires. I believe that as this season progresses, and sure, it's a long shot, but I am not. I asked Wilner about this yesterday. He's throwing around all these names, and that's fine. But maybe Sean Aguano is the guy in our own backyard. If you're in the Urban Meyer train, knock yourself out. If you're in a space where you're looking at for name recognition and name value, that may be the worst thing possible at ASU. This may be the right move. I've been the one that's been pounding my fist saying, please go hire someone like Charlie Ragle, who doesn't have a lot of head coaching experience, but he knows how to recruit inside and out of Arizona and can go find other places. Sean is the exact same mold. He is. And he may be even better. I think in Charlie's case, he's up at Idaho State now. He's not looking around, I wouldn't think. But Sean is in that space where he'll connect with the high schoolers. I think Sean Aguano up on a stage will be just fine with big cigars. Because there's not this, how do I put it? You know, for the last several coaches, they haven't enjoyed or they have gone about their business with the boosters as kind of like, okay, yeah, I got to do this. And some are fine. Todd Graham could go raise a lot of money and get a room going. Herm, of course, would have people in the palm of his hand, but he just kind of felt like, we're not seeing the results here. And there was all the stuff, the noise going on behind the scenes. But remember, 3 weeks ago at the kickoff luncheon, don't pay attention to the noise. Don't pay attention to the noise. And he's blown out. So that's why we have our jobs here, to point out that the inadequacies that are going on. So I'm big on Aguano coming on board. It's not going to get turned around overnight. I think it's the very smart move. I think it does send a message to the NCAA, even though Sean is part of the previous regime that the NCAA is going to rule on. I do believe that now Michael Crow can say, hey, we've gotten rid of most every last bit of people that were involved in this scandal. And Sean is here and he's squeaky clean and we can move forward with him. You know, what would it take for Sean Aguano to be the guy is my question to you today, because I can throw lists out all day long. You know, there's a couple NFL names I could throw out there and we just kick them around and have a grand old time. But I'd prefer, because I do think Sean is the type of guy that could have longevity here and make things happen here at Arizona State if he has the right assistant coaches around him. And, you know, I would hope if Arizona State doesn't find out about the NCAA investigation and the penalties, that they would find out about them soon. If they don't know what's coming down the pike, which I don't believe they do. Nobody does. But find out about them. Get the worst news out of the way. If it's loss of scholarship, if it's bowl game bans, then he can at least go sit in living rooms. Because it's not like he can't go out and recruit. Sean can. Sean can pick up the phone and call a lot of kids that have committed elsewhere and say, hey, you know, I just got this job. Love to have you over here. Love to tell you what our vision, our dream is. So there's a lot around Sean. I am rooting for him. I don't root very often, not supposed to in this gig, but I like him a lot. I think he is the right guy for the right time, which is right now with a mess going on over there. Diamondbacks have a doubleheader today. On their radio side, they're going to have a female play-by-play voice, first time in the history of the franchise, that will be with Chris Garagiola. I'll be listening. I think that's cool. I think it's great. Just tell me where the ball is, what the score is, have some fun. I think that's diversity is good. It's very good. The Rams coming here on Sunday, they're beat up with injury. The Kyler Murray slap by the fan. You know, I've seen the video and fans are, I had people at the Vegas game texting me saying there's fights everywhere. Just take it in your own hands when you go out to a game. That's what it is now. You're going to go to a sporting event. Everybody's got phones. Everybody's got beer. It's, you know, what do you expect? Not saying it's right. Not saying it's right, but it's just, that's what we've come to now. This is like Gladiator. And fans are going to go over the top and they're going to lose their minds and they're going to get in fights. And that's, you know, that's part of the experience of being there on a Sunday, and knock yourselves out. All right, Fabs is next. Fantasy football, as we do every Tuesday. Michael Fabiano, get your questions ready. We go through a lot of different angles around the fantasy football scene with the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, it is time to bring on board Fabs. And based on the mailbag, just talking with people in general, there's some many that it sounds like they just did auto draft because their teams blow. We're a couple weeks in and they have no idea. And the mailbag is full of stuff. It is good to see you. What has jumped out at you 2 weeks in?
Well, first off, the quarterback position has gotten really thin really quick, like really quick. So think about it. That was a position where we were like, I can wait. You know, I'll wait on the position. Dak's out now for I don't know how many more weeks. Trey Lance, unfortunately, is out for the rest of the season. Tom Brady looks like a 45-year-old man who appears to be having, you know, some off-field issues. Aaron Rodgers hasn't looked all that good. So, like, think about it. You're now at a point where you could start – Josh Allen on a regular basis, Mahomes on a regular basis, Justin Herbert on a regular basis, but he got hurt last week too.
Yep.
Lamar on a regular basis, Kyler on a regular basis. And then you got a whole bunch of guys that are like matchup based starters. I would argue right now, Brad, that more than 2/3 of the quarterbacks in the National Football League are matchup based starters or unstartable. Hmm. Right. Yeah. And now, like, you know who we're talking about as like guys who are getting closer to like, I can start them almost on a regular basis? Carson Wentz. Like, I mean, he's had two really good games in a row. So that's one of the biggest takeaways. And the other one, tight end stinks. I mean, if you didn't get a good tight end, you're screwed. Yeah. Like, honestly, I mean, Hockenson hasn't been good so far this year. Kyle Pitts has done a Houdini act, you know, Kelsey and Andrews have been great. Goddard's been good. You know, Ertz has been good. Freiermuth has been good. Waller's been good. George Kittle's been hurt. Schultz got hurt last week. So quarterback and tight end are becoming very difficult to fill in your starting lineup unless you got a player that you can lean on a week-to-week basis. And as I just mentioned, I mean, that those lists are getting smaller and smaller. I mean, Brady this week, Green Bay at home, no Chris Godwin, no Mike Evans. And, of course, no Gronkowski. He retired. So his top wide receivers are maybe Julio Jones, who, oh, by the way, is hurt again. Shocker. You know, Russell Gage, Rashad Perriman. Like, it's not good.
The mailbag, let's just get right into this, because what you're going through, what you're saying there, like, you know, I've got people saying, what do I do with Kenny Galladay? You can't play him, right? You know,
he doesn't even belong on a roster. Like, if you have Kenny Galladay in your fantasy roster, you're not paying attention. He's like the fifth wide receiver for the Giants. Richie James is better than Kenny Galladay. Kenny Galladay is going to go down in history as one of the worst free agent signings in the history of the world, right? Not even just football. This guy got a ton of money. And he's done nothing. He didn't score a touchdown last year. He was in and out of the lineup. And Brian Daboll's clearly got him in his doghouse. And when Wandell Robinson comes back, he's going to drop even further. Kenny Galladay should not be on anyone's roster.
Okay, CeeDee Lamb. You were big on CeeDee before the draft.
I know.
I got people saying, what is Fab's deal on CeeDee Lamb?
He had 7 catches last week. I mean, if you're in PPR, it's not terrible. If I'm going to get 7 catches in a Cooper Rush started game by CeeDee Lamb, I'm okay. Has his ceiling taken a hit? Yeah. We didn't see Dak getting hurt, right? I mean, like, you can never predict these kind of things. So just keep playing them. You got the Giants coming up this week, and their defense has actually been pretty good. They're undefeated, which pains me to say because I don't like the Giants. Yeah. But I'm still playing CeeDee, unless I'm really deep at wide receiver. Like, maybe I picked up Curtis Samuel and I feel like I'm going to play him over CeeDee. Okay. But other than that, you got to keep playing him. Cooper Rush, and I, you know, I was emotional when the Cowboys lost Dak, and that, because I'm an emotional person, especially when it comes to my sports teams.
Shocking.
At the end of last week, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cowboys won that game. Just me being logical, which a lot of times doesn't happen when I'm talking about my favorite teams. So I wasn't surprised the Cowboys won that game. And I pick up Noah Brown. Noah Brown's looked good in the last couple of games. The first two games of the year, he's been nice. So Noah Brown, if you're in a deeper league, is somebody to maybe go add off the waiver wire.
A lot of questions about Palmer, Chargers wide receiver with Keenan Allen hurt. Where's Fabs at on that one?
Well, I liked him last week, and he did get into the end zone late, which was good. But who's the quarterback? Is it Herbert this week, or is it Chase Daniel? I don't know. And if it's Daniels, all of a sudden I'm not really as keen on Keenan Allen if he plays, and we're not sure he's going to play because he's got the hamstring, or Mike Williams or Josh Palmer. So it's sort of a wait-and-see situation in Los Angeles right now with the Chargers. I mean, Herbert, that guy endeared himself to a whole bunch of football fans last week that did not root for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. He gutted it out, gutsy play. I mean, he was amazing. But if he's hurt and the Chargers got to go to Chase, everybody takes a downgrade.
He is the Hall of Famer. He's Michael Fabiano. Jerry Jeudy or Ayuk from the mailbag?
Well, Judy's hurt. He got hurt last week, so I don't know if he's going to play. I don't love the matchup for Ayuk, to be quite honest with you. I'd be looking at the waiver wire. Garrett Wilson could be out there. I mentioned Curtis Samuel. He could be out there. Jahan Dotson could be out there. Sterling Shepard looks like he's back to being like the Giants wide receiver one in terms of the snaps played and the targets. He could be floating around out there. But Judy right now is a question mark. It's early in the week, so we'll find out more later in the week.
Cam Akers, what's Fab's view on Cam Akers? I took him in the second round.
Well, that's on you, my friend. I got to be honest with you. So going into the season, I had some intel about the Rams backfield.
Okay.
And it came to fruition. Then last week, Akers started. I didn't see that coming. It was still a committee. Henderson still played more snaps. Henderson scored more fantasy points. Akers didn't. His yards per carry average was gross. But I think they're going committee there in L.A. So I don't know. Like, it depends on your roster, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. If I could sit Cam Akers, I probably would. But I don't know if a lot of people can, especially if you drafted him in the second round. So it really depends on what your roster looks like. But that Rams backfield, unless one of those two dudes gets hurt, is going to be a headache. It really is. Because they want Akers to step up and be a bigger option in that backfield. He hadn't done it yet. That's why he didn't play a lot in week one. It was kind of like a motivational tactic, I think, by Sean McVay. Hey, Akers, we're not seeing what we want out of you. Take a seat. And then in week two, he played, but he wasn't great. So that Henderson right now is the better fantasy back, but both guys will stunt their statistical ceilings on a weekly basis if things continue the way they have.
Steven Peoria, two, Rashad Penny, Kenyon Drake, Cam Akers, Madison. Man, that's a rough room right there.
Wait a minute.
Kenyon Drake, Cam Akers, or Madison?
I mean, you probably got to play Akers and Penny.
And Penny.
And Madison's a backup.
Madison's
a right? Handcuff. I mean, and Kenyon Drake.
Handcuff. Yeah.
Kenyon Drake didn't even get burned last week. I mean, and J.K. Dobbins might come back this week. Yeah, I'd maybe look for a trade. Most improve that backfield.
Mostert or Darrell Williams off the waiver wire? And I think a lot of it depends on James Conner this week.
Yeah, exactly. It's really hard for me to say. Right. Because if Connor's out, and Connor, boy, that drove me nuts. I mean, I hate when a guy gets hurt, but Connor's always got something going on injury-wise, it seems. Mm-hmm. And he would have had a big game if he hadn't gotten hurt, especially in the second half when the Cardinals turned it on and came back and won the game. Now, if Connor plays, then Darrell Williams kind of much ado about nothing. And even if Connor doesn't play, you know, it's going to be Eno Benjamin and Darrell Williams putting the workload. So it's going to be really hard to decipher which guy to play, and they're playing the Rams. So the matchup's not great either, to be quite honest with you. So, and Mostert got no burn in week one, and then he led the Dolphins backfield in snaps and touches last week. Like, hello. Honestly, it is such a guessing game with some of these backfields. Like, you may get into a situation where the coach is just like, I'm going with the hot hand. So if the hot hand is a guy that you didn't start in your fantasy team, well, I don't care. Because fantasy football don't matter to these guys. Just like, you know, Arthur Smith said, I don't care about people's fantasy teams when it comes to Kyle Pitts not doing anything. Not going to endear yourself to us, Arthur Smith, but we simply don't know. Unless you're in the locker room with some of these backfields, you simply don't know. And the matchup this week is not great either. They're playing Buffalo. And I mean, Buffalo just Monday night, boy, that's the best team in the NFL by a mile as far as I'm concerned. Derrick Henry did nothing. You want to talk about a guy that people are starting to get worried about? Derrick Henry has scored single-digit points in two straight games, and he scored a touchdown against Buffalo, and he still scored single digits. And he hasn't been a factor in the passing game at all. Not that he's ever been a huge factor, but they didn't have Dontrell Hilliard in that game, and he still didn't catch any passes. Good news is that they got the Raiders this week, and the Raiders' defense is not good against the run. So Henry should bounce back.
All right, before I get you out of here, and this is all these questions that were thrown at me in the mailbag, a lot of them I think are now in talking with you this morning about, okay, waiver wire with quarterbacks this week. Like Tannehill's future, where you at on that one? If Herbert doesn't play, who are some options that you're looking at this week? Because you put it very well earlier, Michael, and that is, look, if you had Trey Lance, you took him late. Okay, Garoppolo's up there. That makes a lot of sense. But on the waiver wire, who's some quarterbacks you're thinking, start going down this path? Because if you have Tannehill, you're in trouble long-term, it looks like.
Tua could be out there, and I was dead wrong about Tua last week. I mean, who the hell saw six touchdowns coming, Brad? I mean, that's crazy. I didn't love him. I thought he was more of like a mid QB2, and he ended up being just a star. Let's see what he can do against the Bills. But he might be floating around out there. Carson Wentz might be floating around out there. He's had two good games in a row. You mentioned Garoppolo. How about Jared Goff? Like, I mean, I'm not his biggest fan from a fantasy perspective. I'm sure he's a great human being. But he's had two pretty good games in a row. He's a top 10 quarterback right now. Now, Joe Flacco, you know, is coming off a four touchdown game. I don't know if I'd pick him up, but who the hell knows? Right? I mean, like, you know, Flacco's, he's elite, isn't he? I mean, maybe he was at one point, and I don't really see that either. But there are not a lot of good options at quarterback, folks. It just is what it is. Like Tannehill, the matchup this week is actually pretty good against the Raiders. It's not bad at all. So, I mean, if you could forget the past, like Kirk Cousins on Monday night, he stunk. Now, Irv Smith should have had a touchdown. That would have helped his stat line, but he stunk. He was basically just like, I'm just going to throw the ball in Justin Jefferson's way, even if Darius Slay is the guy who's going to catch it or he's triple covered. But you got to forget last week in that case because he's got the Lions coming up next. So Kirk Cousins is going to be – I'm going to start Kirk Cousins this week. I don't care what he did on Monday night. But there's just not a lot of good options out there. You know, like Justin Fields is probably owned in most leagues, but he's been terrible for two straight games. And he's got Houston who just held Russell to 11 points. So Tua, Wentz, Goff, Garoppolo, like those guys are probably the ones that you could potentially pick up. If you're looking long term, you may want to pick up Kenny Pickett now because Mitch Trubisky looks like garbage. And the Steelers don't look good. Their offense looks bad. They're going to need a spark at some point. Trubisky is not holding that job all year.
He is the Hall of Famer. He is Michael Fabiano. I'm just looking here at all the questions coming in, and it is about quarterbacks. I appreciate you weighing in as always. Have a great week, partner. We'll see you next week.
You too, my friend.
And we're back with more after this timeout.